Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Sometimes, the creepiest of things happen right inside our own homes. Not all things that go bump in the night are mysterious paranormal monsters. Sometimes, the boogeyman we fear the most is another person. Every day on the news, we see tragic stories of stalkers, murderers, assaults, robberies, and more. Today, I am sharing some of those stories subscribers have sent in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy these creepy stories on a rainy day. Don't forget to like the video and subscribe, and to send in your story at swampdweller.net. Now, let's get into these tales of terror. I work at a gun shop in a city, but due to its popularity, I won't mention its name or my coworkers' names. I'm going to start by giving you a little backstory of my compadres. We'll start out with one we'll call Matt, who doesn't trust easily. He's basically someone who, while kind, is suspicious of everyone till given a reason not to be. Next, we have Jimmy, a former Marine who served two tours in the Middle East. Next, we have John and Bob. Bob was our gun safe guy, while John was the shift lead for the night. I, on the other hand, had just gotten out of the AIT and basic training for the National Guard. On the night this story takes place, we're closing up and had finished our other work as well. While I had completed all my tasks, I thought I'd wait up for John and Matt to finish his work before heading home. The team is rather close-knit at the store, and considered one as a family in many regards. Soon enough, Jimmy and Bob walk in and Jimmy asks permissions to go home, at which he is given the okay and leaves. Jimmy leaves and the alarm goes off, which prompts Bob to rush outside while John and I head for the alarm system. The alarm blaring is coming from our classroom, which is across a lot in a different building altogether. After taking a look at the classroom from the lot, we see the doors are open, but not much else appears to be going on. That's when I hear Jimmy shout across the way that he'll check it out. Keep in mind, he's carrying a firearm, with Bob right behind him. John, meanwhile, has left to call the cops. Knowing Bob doesn't have a weapon, I figured I'd join him. This is where Jimmy and I's CQB training comes into play. I knew Jimmy had more experience, so I let him take point, as I also unholstered my weapon and readied it. Bob hands Jimmy a flashlight, at which point Jimmy shouts to the intruder that we're in a gun store and we will shoot. I signal to Jimmy that we are ready, and soon Bob appears and opens the door and we enter the property. The classroom's layout is fairly basic. There's three desks on the left and right walls, and three in the middle with a bathroom door on the right and a door to the ammo storage on the left. The second Bob opens up, we rush in. I head to the bathroom and Jimmy goes straight for the ammo storage room. I bust into the bathroom, but I find nothing. Jimmy has now opened the ammo storage room, which has a bathroom on the left side, and a locked, gated fence with barbed wire on the top right. Jimmy finds no one in the bathroom, and by the time he goes to check the fenced area, I have rejoined him, already looking out into the darkness. Bob hits the lights and we inform anyone outside that once again we are armed and will fire. Looking at the fence, we find the lock is snapped, but it's still hanging from the fence. Jimmy pulls the lock off and informs me I hear gunshots to shoot through the classroom wall. I move to the position, ready to do what needs to be done. Jimmy turns the corner, and then, nothing. Relieved, I begin to relax when I hear Justin scream, "Tanner!" while pointing towards the loft. I'm shocked to see that we have a loft, as I didn't realize we did at the time. Moving in, we announce ourselves again as Jimmy now climbs the ladder. At the top, I hear him say, "What the?" At which point I ask him if everything is alright. He says yes, but he informs we need to get John. Now! Bob and I head up to see what Jimmy is on about. Once up the ladder, we see in blood on the wall is the message, "Teehee." We sit there in silence until the police arrive. I head back to the store, realizing we left Matt alone. When I get there, I'm greeted by an AR-15 pointed at my head. As it turns out, it was just Matt, and when he realized it was me, he lowered his weapon and asked where I was. I fill him in on the whole situation with the alarm. This was when Matt, who is a big dude and isn't scared easily, turns white and asks me if I heard it. Asked if I heard what? That was when he said he kept hearing a grown man repeating, "Tee-hee," over and over again, but he couldn't pinpoint the sound or find where it was coming from. I hadn't told him about the wall just yet, and when I did, he seemed weirded out and a little shaken. The cops arrived roughly 8 minutes after John called them. We didn't bring up any of the tee-hee stuff again until the next day, when the owner came in. Apparently, back in 2006, a former employee had cut his hand and wrote "Teehee" on the wall in blood, just before committing suicide. Now every time I hear those words, I get chills. My story begins in 2010. I was a little shit who had only one brother. My parents were going through a divorce at the time, and my mother was having an affair. I woke up one night and turned on the television set as I couldn't sleep. I was bored and hungry, so I ate some cereal when my dad came downstairs and into the room with his hands over his face. Looking back on it now, his voice was quite shaky. My dad asked me to take our Pomeranian out for a walk. Excited, I rushed out the house and took our dog for a walk. My father never allowed me to do this in the past, and being a kid, it was a big event for me. My parents were the type to work a lot and provide for us. As such, I spent a lot of time at the babysitter's. My brother was at the babysitter's on this night, and I was alone with my mom and dad. My mom was inside the house, and I decided to head to the neighbors and chill under their tree. This was something my parents didn't like me doing, but when I did, they came over and spent time with me. Thinking this was a sure plan and wanting my parents' attention, I waited under the tree. They never came. I sat there for maybe 20 more minutes when I heard the sound of someone knocking on a door. It turns out it wasn't a door. By the time I realized it wasn't a door, I didn't think anything of it, as I was 6. Growing bored, I tried the door. It was locked. Maybe a side door, I thought. They were all locked too. I began feeling shaky at this point. What if my parents had forgotten about me? I started panicking and banging on our door. I didn't get an answer, so I went to the neighbors once again for help. I explained to them my situation, and they got very scared before calling the police. The neighbors sent me to their guest bedroom and wouldn't let me leave. The room I was in had nothing in it. Eventually, a police officer came in and asked me for a statement. I told them about the knocking I heard and explained how I tried to get inside. The officer shook his head, and soon after, a policewoman came and took me to McDonald's. I remember she was very beautiful. Soon after this, I was taken to my babysitter's house. About a year later, my grandma tried adopting us, but she died of a heart attack after losing the court case for custody. Another year went by, and my foster parents at the time became very abusive. They gave their biological daughter everything she wanted, and they were just cruel to me. I no longer live with them, thankfully. As far as the day in question of this story goes, it turns out after my dad sent me to walk the dog, he locked the place, went upstairs, shot my mom, and then committed suicide. I'm 26 and currently live in Long Island, New York. I've skateboarded my entire life and have no intentions of ever quitting, as it's the one thing that makes me happiest in life. 3 years ago, I planned to meet up with my friend in Astoria, Queens. to get a late night shred fest on at the skate park. I usually got out of work pretty late, around 11 p.m., so I didn't meet up with my friend until midnight. My friend and I were in our car, rolling up to the parking lot when a black four-door Hyundai with tinted windows suddenly pulls up in front of us and stops. This was extremely odd, as the parking lot itself was empty and the size of a football field. I was thinking, why park right in front of us? Although initially weirded out, we decided to shake it off and continue onward to our goal. This is when the car began to make slow circles around my friend and I. I'm not gonna lie, I was worried at this point. I asked my friend if he was seeing this, but he seemed completely unconcerned and just kept rolling up. I was still concerned and figured the only way I was going to shake my worry was to confront the people in the car. This terrified me, but I'd never be able to enjoy myself if I didn't know what the heck they were doing. I got on my board and rolled towards the car. The second I made any real progress, the car peeled out and left the lot. After this, we enjoyed the skate park to ourselves for the next 3 hours. I'm happy I always have my board as a weapon in worst case scenario, but the event of that night, though nothing ultimately happened to us, left me feeling the most vulnerable I've ever felt in my life. If you're ever out late, be careful. You never know who you'll run into. I'm a female living in the UK, and this is my experience with the creeper on the way home. I was about 14 when this all happened, and on this particular day I'd spent all day with my friends in a local park. To give you an idea of the layout and distance, the park sits about a half hour away from home. The day now over, my friends and I began our trek home. Most of my friends live much closer to the park, and so they departed early. It was still daylight out, so I was okay and comfortable heading home on my own, and assured them I'd be okay. Looking back, I wish I'd had someone come home with me. Once I said my goodbyes to my friends, I began the quite familiar walk toward home. You see, I've walked this home probably a billion times, and never once felt unsafe or any sort of threat. Today was different. Looking up, I see a guy across the street, hood up, just standing there. It was weird as it wasn't rainy, windy, or even cold. Still, I did as so many do and shrugged this off as an initial warning feeling I was getting off the dude. The dude began walking slowly, but determinedly, so I went diagonally across the street to put distance between us just to be safe. I was just about to take a shortcut, one that would have gotten me home in 10 minutes, when I got this really sudden paranoia. It was a gut feeling to turn around. I listened to this gut feeling, and while what I saw terrified me, I'm glad I did. Turning, I saw that this dude was across the street suddenly within arm's reach of me. The guy froze the moment I spun around, and suddenly, we stared at one another down for just a moment. I remember although the guy was startled by my sudden turn, he had the most unsettling look on his face. I've never seen anybody make that look before. Terrified and unsure of what to do, I decided to change paths to the main road, but the moment I started to turn, he grabbed me by the arm and smirked before pulling me into the shortcut. I'm not sure if it was adrenaline, shock, or something else entirely, but I immediately began fighting back with all my might. I was soon able to break free and run to a pub about a minute away from the shortcut for help. Once inside, the owner and patrons could see how scared and shaken up I was, and they called the police for me. After taking a statement, the police went door to door to find my attacker. They never found him. I was very fortunate to have escaped that day, in what I believe was likely, probably a life-threatening situation. I shake every time that I think of this experience, and what would have happened if I had not broken free from my attacker. I'm quite sure if I hadn't escaped, I wouldn't be here to tell my story today. Hello. So I have never shared this experience, and it isn't too long, but it is frightening nonetheless. It was Christmas Eve, and I was home with my twin sister Violet, and we were both 17. This is important to note because we have heard all the stories about stranger danger and all sorts of things. Anyway, our parents were out doing last-minute Christmas shopping, and we were home really not doing much of anything. It was late at night, so not much was going on. I was sitting on my bed listening to music, and Violet comes in with our golden retriever, Luna. Luna is a very good dog and never barks at anything. This time, however, she was scared of something and she was growling and barking. Violet told me there was someone standing out on the snowy street taking pictures of our house. I get chills down my back and we go to investigate. My house has a lot of windows, and we live in a pretty suburban area, so it wasn't uncommon to see someone on the street, even late at night. I have to walk to the windows, and then I see a very large man dressed in black, taking pictures in the street of our house. He was larger than a normal human. He had a black coat, black hat, black sunglasses, and black pants. Now, I know it wasn't the best decision, but Violet was freaked out and Luna was barking and trying to get through the window. So I ultimately open it and yell at him to screw off and go somewhere else. He stops taking pictures and he just stares at us. He then continues to take pictures. I then start to hear him rapidly laughing and mumbling to himself. We lock the doors and windows and go back to my room and we call the police, but the operator said there was nothing they could really do since he wasn't causing a disturbance or threatening us. I know, helpful, right? So I call our parents and they say they'll be back in 10 minutes. We heard footsteps you'd usually hear when someone walks in the snow and hear some sort of scraping along the side of the house. So we are pretty much freaking out and Luna is barking like there's no tomorrow and everything just stops. We wait and hear our parents come through the door. We are instantly relieved. Our parents say there was nobody outside, but due to the heavy snow, there were footprints that led from the street to the side of our house, and then they just stopped. Violet and I were thoroughly confused, and after a very angry call to the police, they came and investigated and basically found nothing except for the aforementioned footprints. There was some sort of scrape marks on the side of our house. The police believe it was caused by some sort of sharp metal object. They took our statements, but nothing ever really came of it. So this happened a few years ago when I first started working at a publishing company that published global automotive magazines. I learned shortly after that many of our subscribers were incarcerated men. One day, we received a letter from a prisoner who didn't get his monthly issue. This was commonplace since some inmates can only communicate by mail. He should have received his magazine by the time we got this letter. So I stuck the copy in a priority envelope and included another freebie magazine for the inconvenience. I also included a sticky note, which I wrote something like, "Sorry about the inconvenience, we've included an extra issue for the trouble. Thank you, my name, with company name." I shipped the envelope and didn't think of it again. Until a few weeks later when my boss gave me a letter addressed to me specifically, but at my work address. I instantly recognized the inmate's name in his distinct cursive writing. I can't remember specifics now, I'll explain why in a minute, but the letter was basically him thanking me profusely for sending that issue. I felt bad because I figured his life wasn't great, being incarcerated, and he said how lonely he was in prison and how it meant so much that I wrote to him. Then he started asking if I could just write to him at this point. But I was feeling quite sorry for the guy, and also pretty unnerved. So I decided to do an inmate search to see what crime he committed. I normally wouldn't do this for privacy reasons, but he wrote me a personal letter, so I went for it. That's when I discovered that in the early 1990s he was babysitting his live-in girlfriend's toddler son. Apparently, he was coming down from a heroin and alcohol bender and struck the child several times, forcefully enough to cause internal injuries, which resulted to his death. Coincidentally, my son was around the same age as the child at the time. One detail the report I read about stood out. The child was clad in just a Ninja Turtle shirt and diaper when his mother rushed him to the hospital. My son was and is also really into Ninja Turtles, so that part just hit way too close to me. I was instantly sad and beyond measure, and physically sick to my stomach. I tore up the letter and took it to a dumpster off my work property to dispose of it. I felt like I could feel the bad energy emanating from it. I felt manipulated and regretted that I'd ever felt sorry for a man who committed such a horrendous act. I don't remember the inmate's name because I was hastily disposed of his letter. I've tried to look up the case again with the details, but I have never found anything quite exact to the case. My buddy has this weird property, where weird things happen all the time. Unexplained noises and lights are normal there. This is just one of my weird stories from my life thus far. So this happened many years ago, around when I was 10 or so. My buddy, I'll call him Gary, and I would often go to his place because we had a big property there. Lots of space for 10 years old to run around and play army and whatnot. They had this old tree that his dad referred to as the witch tree, because it was this old tree that never had leaves on it, but it wasn't dead. His house always had this creepy vibe to it, and I had seen orbs in the odd mist. I didn't like being alone in that house. So one calm winter day, we were running around the yard exploring as we always did, when my buddy, being the smartass he was, dared me to go and touch the tree. Of course, I had to prove a point that I was not a girl and I was a tough 10-year-old, and started over the frozen swamp to touch it. As soon as I stepped on the swamp, the wind picked up and continued to blow harder and harder the closer I got to the tree. I was a couple of feet from the tree, wind howling, when I reached out my hand and touched the tree. As soon as I touched the tree, the wind went from 80 kilometers an hour to dead still. It freaked us out, so we noped out of there. The tree is still there, having survived tornadoes and countless storms. I want to check it out again when I go there next, but I'm kind of scared of what will happen. I'm a 13-year-old female, and it was only a few months ago when this happened. I was on a hockey trip with the rest of my family. I don't play, but my siblings do. I'm generally a quiet person. I have social anxiety, and I don't react well to situations with people complimenting me or anything. My family had just pulled into a rest stop I was very familiar with. I was walking in to get a drink with my little sister, who is 9, when she ran ahead of me. I didn't care much, but I wish she had stayed by my side, because not even a few seconds later, a Caucasian male who looked to be in his mid-40s honked his horn at me. I instantly jumped back because I was right next to his car, which was a red 4-door sedan. He started telling me how pretty I was and how I should hop into the car. Being the unsocial person I am, I walked away with no reply. I ran inside to go meet up with my little sister. I'm pretty close with her, so I laughed about how what just happened and told her about it. We didn't think much of it and left as soon as we came. The man made crude gestures to me as I walked back to my other siblings. I have 2 sisters and 1 brother. My brother is pretty intimidating and 16, while my sister is 15 and not intimidating. They both play hockey and are stronger than me. My family drove off and started to go to the hotel we were staying at. It was an hour or two away, so after a while we stopped at another rest stop, so I and my siblings could stretch. I had already forgotten about the encounter with the man when I noticed a car pull in. It was a red 4-door sedan. I didn't pay too much attention to it at first, until I walked into the restroom area. A man followed me in and just sat on the bench like he was waiting for someone. Wanting to avoid eye contact or talking, I pulled my little sister next to me and just spoke about video games with her. I waited until she was done to walk out with her, but my mom walked in and told me to go back to the car. I always avoid talking to strangers, and I get really nervous if someone says hi to me, and I try to avoid contact with them. As I was walking back out, the man followed me. He was around the same height as me. I'm 5'8". He walked next to me and whispered into my ear something along the lines of, "You look good tied to my bed." I didn't completely remember what he said. I just tensed up and ran for my car, jumping into the back seat. I was scared now, but because I was an idiot, I only texted my friend about it. She told me if some random creep, then not to worry about it. I did as she said and forget about it. I thought that was the end of it for the encounters. Once my family got to our hotel, we checked in and went to the ice rink. We took longer than we thought, so we had to be at the rink immediately. I began to forget the man again. It was the start of the second period, and I was sitting outside the actual rink with my sister. I don't bother watching, at least not until now. My sister and I were playing some multiplayer game when a man sat right next to me and asked what I was playing. I got extremely uncomfortable and moved away only to have him move closer. He began asking me if I had a boyfriend, and I just pointed to my ear to pretend I was deaf. It was pretty stupid looking back, but I had a plan if he believed me. I don't know how much sign language he knows, but I know enough to pass a lie. Sadly, he didn't buy it and continued to ask. I stayed silent, ignoring him, until he put his cold hand on my thigh. I was wearing leggings, so I felt how cold his hand was. I jumped at it, and he, in turn, squeezed it. In the game my sister and I were playing, we could message things, so I quickly looked at her and wrote in the chat, "Ask me to go to the bar with you." She looked at me and realized what was going on. She walked over to me and told me that she had to go to the bathroom. We hid in the bathroom for a while until the game was over. I didn't see him until the next game was going, which was the next day. My sister had a fever that day, so I volunteered to stay with her at the hotel. I only really did it to avoid that man again. It was a few minutes later when I heard a knock at our door. At this time, my little sister was downstairs getting breakfast in the hotel. I assumed it was her and opened the door. I hated what I saw instead of my sister. The same man as before, and I was horrified. His face had a horrible grin on it. Before he could say anything, I slammed the door and decided it was a good time to call the police. I was crying at that point as I sat against the door and called the police. They arrived shortly after and the man was arrested. It turns out he had been taking pictures of me the whole trip. He had been following me the whole time, even when I was swimming with my siblings. From then on, I don't ever walk alone. I hate it. I just really hope I never see him again. It was the second scariest thing in my entire life so far. I was 24 at the time and my name is Mitchell. I live in Kenora, Ontario, Canada. It was August, I think the 20th of 2015. I had just finished breaking up with one of my best friends. He was on the heroin and the mess, and I couldn't stand to be around him, so I told him to screw off. As I left his house, I was angry because I thought how many times he was carrying drugs on him when we were hanging out. As I was driving home, I see that there's a train in front of me, and it's blocking the road. So I wait for 5 minutes waiting for the train to go by, but it never does. So I turn my truck around and start driving around the train. There's an hour wait to get home, and it's a bit of a long ride. Maybe like an hour longer anyway, as I was driving home. I pass by an old Native American burial ground, and I slowed down, out of respect, because I hoped that they were okay, and they were better off being dead in the ground. I get past the burial ground and another 15 feet up when I see what looks like a wolf standing in the middle of the road. I slow down and come to a complete stop. I'm waiting for the wolf to cross the road or something, and it's just standing there, so I honk my horn. Nothing happens. I honk my horn again. Nothing. So I try revving my engine to get him to move. Nothing happened. Finally, I put my truck in park, roll down my window, and I literally yelled, "Move, you stupid wolf!" That's when it turned and looked at me. Its eyes were pure red, like a demon. I pulled my head back in, rolled up the window, and turned off my lights. I noticed the wolf's eyes are still red, and that's when I started getting a bit scared. I watched it come close to my truck, snarling and growling and drooling at this point. There's something about it that was giving me chills. I was so scared that deep down I literally thought I was going to die. I thought that he was going to get into my truck, and I put my head down, starting to pray to God or whoever was listening to please let me live. That's when I noticed the growling stopped. I looked up and the wolf wasn't there. I looked to my left and I looked to my right and back and front, but nothing. Then I looked to my back and the wolf was standing there in the bed of my truck. Immediately that dread returned to me, but nothing happened. A sense of safety came over me when I looked at it. Its eyes turned back to the normal color of brown. I then watched it jump out of the back of my truck, and it went along the road. I got my truck started again and hauled ass out of there. I watched it fade into nothing. When I went to sleep that night, nothing bad happened, and to this day, I think about that spirit wolf all the time. A few years ago, I was living alone in a little house which had a heavy back door that would swell up some after it rained and get really tough to open and make a lot of noise. Late one night, I had passed out on my sofa in the living room on the opposite side of the house, but woke up to something, which I now assume was the back door being opened. I'm an idiot, by the way, and never used to lock the back door. Netflix was still blaring on my laptop as I slowly squinted my eyes open and realized there was a black outline of someone standing still in the hallway looking down at me. They were not very large or tall based on how much space they took up in the doorframe. Being completely disoriented in my waking state, my mind latched on to the first thought that came to mind, which was that it must be my girlfriend. I was naked at the time and pulled my blanket back, with my legs sprawled and my junk hanging out, and called to her in my best, deep, sexy voice, "Come here, baby." Upon discovering a naked 6-foot-plus 200-pound man beckoning to them with his genitalia, the not-my-girlfriend person immediately turned on their heel, revealing a large backpack, and booked it for the back door. By the time I stumbled up to the door, all I could hear was them taking off into the darkness at a full sprint. I can only guess, based on their height, that they did not come here with the bold intention of being the little spoon. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed these stories that could happen in any neighborhood at any time, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you'd like to share in a future video, whether it be something like this or a completely different story in general, be sure to send it in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. I appreciate all of you guys so much. Your support has really been noticed and it doesn't go unappreciated. We're very close to 100,000 subscribers and I can never imagine ever getting here, but with you guys behind us, we can do anything. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.